Hey folks, welcome to season 4, episode 50, not of long shots, of Transfin podcast now. Now we have multiple series, Sharad, going on. We kicked off Transfin Adda, a new podcast series this week. Exciting stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, if this was a cricket match, people raise their bats at 50, we can raise the podcast mic and just show it to the crowd here.
Yes, but we can't record...
We'll just say it.
Unless it kind of bangs a table or something, then people will know that we have done that.
Yeah.
But it's tremendously exciting to get to be doing this again.
Yeah.
It's been almost now what, 2 months now.
Yeah.
So yeah, just a bit of an overview to all our listeners. Now we'll be having two different series of podcasts. We have very ambitiously written on our channel description that they will be weekly episodes. Let's see how that goes. But effectively, we'll obviously continue doing long shots. Me, Sharad, and an occasional guest where we are, going to have nice, friendly, or sometimes confrontational banter on all things finance, a bit of business, a bit of tech, and, pretty much any newsy or non-newsy thing that we'd like to chat about. And on the other end, we have Simi and Sudhanva, who kicked off Transfin Adda, which is slightly, I think, quote-unquote, lighter 15-minute format conversations between both of them. And it may be related to business or finance. It may not be. Those are basically just, as I think one of our common friends described, little nuggets of information, which people might find interesting.
It could be about shoes as well.
Yes, that was, I think, the first one that they did.
Yeah.
Shoes as well as the abominable production of Disney.
Yeah.
But today we are going to, I think, chat about much more, darker stuff. We are going to chat about insolvency and bankruptcies and RBI and I don't know what else.
Sure. Yeah.
And before we kind of head there, friendly reminder, the usual thing, do subscribe to our podcast. We stream non-live on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, Deezer. We are hosted on Audioboom, so just check out our channel. There are a bunch of places where the feeds go, so do subscribe.
You will not regret it.
You will not regret it, yes, so that you get that nice notification every time an episode goes live. And so Sharad, let's catch up on a few things. What's been going on for the last 2 months? Obviously, like, we can start with the most predictable topic, pollution.
Yeah.
But I think today the skies are clear. So, I mean, in fact, I think it's been overbaked already.
Yeah.
In the popular narrative, I now have 2-3 apps on my phone which keep on sending me alerts about the latest Dyson purifier to buy.
Yeah.
But I'll have to like mortgage my kidney or something.
They're
fairly expensive pieces of equipment.
Yeah.
This is a very Delhi kind of thing, right? What we are doing right now.
Yeah.
Bitch about pollution.
It is. And but you're right, that ad placement for Dyson is ridiculous. Hear it on the radio while driving here.
Yes.
It's all over the place. But I bit the bullet. I did buy an air purifier.
You did?
Not the same one though.
Right. No, I mean, who am I kidding? I also have one. So,
so does
we are all hypocrites here. Complaining about the issue, but kind of succumbing to the need of our lungs.
Yeah, for these 2-3 weeks, I guess. But I'm pretty sure, I'm pretty optimistic in the long term that it reverses out with some kind of policy-based solution.
Yes, China took 4 years, we'll take 10, but we'll get it done.
We'll get it done. And outside of that, big lot of noise in...
Or maybe the Supreme Court is going to get something done. I mean, nowadays in our country, only the Supreme Court gets things done, it seems, right?
Yeah, Supreme Court's been like in the news like intensively from... Big boy decisions.
I hope praising the court doesn't mean contempt of court, right? I mean, it's okay, right? We are kind of saying nice things about the court.
Even if it is contempt, where will you argue? Even if someone says it is, there is no platform.
This is a platform, man. We are doing it.
I think we can talk about it. I'm fairly confident about it. Big decisions, right? I mean, from private sector to more hanging, long-tailed decisions, which have taken decades to come to fruition. But either way, I guess let's move on, right?
Unfortunately, the decade issues we are not going to talk about.
Yeah.
Not in the mandate of the podcast. But yeah, there was... from the ArcelorMittal deal closing in, to relief from the government on spectrum, to AGR liabilities on telecom companies.
Quote unquote relief.
Yes. Fortis, Sabrimala. I mean, Sabrimala is kind of, I think, still
ongoing.
Lot of things happening.
Yeah. Enough to fill the front pages, right?
Yeah. So what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about, I think, the telecom thing.
Yeah, let's start with
which is something of your personal sector of focus.
Yeah,
in life.
I think both of us enjoy that sector fairly well, and it's robust, it's capital intensive, it's big, it's got subscriber based products.
Yeah,
there's a nice narrative around it, and we're both users, much like everyone else I know. Anyone, I've never been the last. 3 years, I've never met anyone without a phone connection, a cell phone connection. So it's ubiquitous in the truest sense.
Yes.
So what's going on there? I mean, we all know the crux of it, that they're in distress. Ideally, what is called a three-player market between Jio, Airtel, and Vodafone Idea. Obviously, it sort of, you can put an arbitrary line between Jio on one side and Vodafone Idea and Airtel on the other side in terms of how they're approaching this whole issue. So what is the issue? They own truckloads of money to the Department of Telecommunication or for the government. Why do they owe it? Because of something a little more technical. There is something called an adjusted gross revenue, which telecom operators all across the world use. And why they use the word adjusted, much like you and I know in banking, everything is adjusted. EBITDA is adjusted. Net income is adjusted. They adjust revenue to filter between what is core telecom revenues and non-core telecom revenues. I've seen that being done everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
They both add up together to make it what is overall revenue. The government's view is that you need to, the rule is to give like about 8% of that number plus another 3 to 5% of that number to the government for spectrum fees.
So basically the AGR figure is relevant only from a policy taxation perspective, or that's also relevant for reflecting the operating performance of the company?
When you're analyzing for the operating performance, people are very good to split that out, right?
Yeah.
They look at core business, they look at non. In fact, I've been part of valuation exercises where you put a different valuation multiple on both sides, right?
Right.
Because they just behave differently.
Right.
Now, and in some places, they're so different. Some has like maybe telecom infrastructure revenue line. Some have some content kind of a deal.
Right.
Some put like a special international roaming arrangement that they have, which is core telecom again, but it's just different.
Right. So basically, like if the government has to calculate any levy or spectrum charge, they want to capture the telecom revenue somewhere.
Yeah.
And AGR is a way to do it. And they calculate it on that.
On that.
And I guess there's a difference between the definition of AGR in the Indian telecom sector as per the industry versus the government. And the government seems to have won. That's what has happened. Right?
Yeah, it has won. And this being
government's always win. Right?
They always win. And the funny part is like now, because this has been going on for, I think since, I can't remember, maybe 10 years, this case has been going on.
Hmm.
And now these guys owe a bunch of money to the government. The exact number is 1.4 lakh crores, out of which I think Airtel and Airtel is around 40,000 crores and Vodafone Idea is about 43,000 crores. So they make up a bulk of it.
Yeah.
The remainder comprises of a small amount of less than 5,000 crores from the public sector guys like MTNL and BSNL.
Mm-hmm.
Then there are Reliance Jio is a little bit in there.
Right.
And a lot of others are no longer there, like Docomo and Tata. And there are a lot of Aircel and other players like that who are non-existent. So
the 1.4 lakh crore is kind of a backward-looking number. I mean, in terms of there are a lot of companies which don't actually exist anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Who are supposed to owe the 1.4 lakh crore.
A piece of that 1.4, yes.
Yeah, I mean.
Yes,
yeah,
correct. Yes.
Right, right.
So they're no longer there. I mean,
right.
So these guys are obviously...
Is that being pro-rata spread into the other guy? No,
I hope not, because this in itself is very, and there's interest on that, so that's how that number 1.4.
Yeah, interest. I was reading that it's almost 3/4 of the total. That's interest.
Yeah,
I mean the actual dues is just 25%.
Yeah, and you tell me your views, because these telecom guys, Vodafone, they themselves are saying when they're negotiating from waiver to this and that, they're also saying at least adjust the interest rate. I mean, how do you adjust? I don't know, how do you calculate such an interest rate? Do you just like how do you arrive at that number? It can't be like a bank loan interest rate. Maybe it's something.
I mean, it's like the kind of interest rate one pays on taxation, right? So suppose you delay a payment, for some example, like in case of personal income tax, I think you pay like a 1% interest per month.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's not supposed to be a benchmark rate.
Yeah.
It's basically what the government says the rate is.
Yeah.
So, it's just a way to somehow secure the time value of money.
Yeah.
Right. So I assume there must be some hurdle rate that the government must be using, probably like the Government of India bonds or something like that as a, you know, basis.
Yeah, that's
like
it.
Minimum 5% or 6% per annum. I think it can't be less than that, otherwise the entire TVM gets lost in translation.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's, I don't think there's any benchmark which is linked for. It's a very statutory kind of application of the law.
Yeah.
But yeah, look, you are supposed to pay. I think this was like this is a 14-year-old thing, right?
At yeah, 14 years, correct.
So this has been going on for 14 years, an entire litigation around AGR. So within 14 years, whatever was the due spectrum, whatever was the due levy, yeah, I mean, it's a long period. So even I'm sure at a small rate of interest, the
adds up, compounds.
Adds up, yes. as Warren Buffet said, but he said it for a completely different thing. But the compounding, unfortunately, also works very well in taxation. Valued,
yeah.
So, but I mean, you know, it's funny because I mean, I get it. Obviously, right now the sector is in distress. But isn't it also the case? I think you only shared that article with me, right? That Hindu op-ed.
Yeah, I think it
said
back, yeah.
That Airtel and Vodafone for years have not even been provisioning.
Yeah, that's a big argument that Jio also makes in their letter, right? And that surprised me as well. I mean, it's Indian accounting standards, also IFRS, US GAAP, whatever it is, you have to provision for an ongoing litigation. And if it's going on for 14 years,
yeah,
there has to be a provision. Now, to come back and say that, you know, there is no provision, we don't have funds, it's a weak argument from a legal standpoint.
Yeah.
So I was surprised in that article, that caught my eye. Like, I think it's the Indian accounting standards which mandates you to provision for such ongoing litigations.
Yeah. So I just opened the article as well. So the paragraph is saying that Jio has also alleged that these operators have not provisioned for the possibility of the liabilities following the Supreme Court judgment, which should have been applicable as per the Indian accounting standards. The other operators,
yeah,
they have maintained that the definition of AGR has been sub judice,
okay,
since 2005, and that before the Supreme Court order, most rulings in several other courts, including the telecoms dispute settlement and appellate tribunal, have largely been favorable to telecom operators, whereas these liabilities were not provided for.
That's
so it. They were like just thinking, yeah, I mean, these guys are like, you know, buddies, you know,
yeah.
They're not going to do that to us.
Yeah.
But I mean, article says that the other operators have maintained.
Yeah.
So I guess there must have been some statement from them, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Or maybe within the paperwork which was submitted in the litigation.
Yeah, maybe. I should get deeper into this. But that surprised me as well. And that's exact paragraph that he just read that caught my eye as well. Because I don't know what the legality around it is. But it seems borderline fraud if you're breaking the accounting standards.
The thing is that in case of a bank, sure, it's borderline fraud because, I mean, there you're kind of playing with depositors' money.
Yeah.
But I guess here, because it's a corporate and it's institutional funding which is being used, it's basically a strategic decision which they took. I mean, it's a governance lapse for sure. I mean, the CFO, that's the job of the CFO to kind of look at these things that, okay, there might be some one-off charge which might come in the next 2 to 3 years. So might as well, you know, be prudent on how we're going to
manage it.
That's a provision, right? I mean, provision is nothing but just keeping cash in an escrow.
That's
not really, but I mean, that's conceptually the thing, right?
Yeah, and it'll generate interest.
Yes, it will. Sure. Good way to look at it. And but like, I think there has been some relief, right? The government 42, did say that some, I think the forward-looking spectrum charge has now been deferred.
Yeah, they're saying you can take your time, loosely speaking, you can take your time to pay that up. I mean, the auction itself is moved to now 2020, and so let's say a year from now, roughly. I mean, that auction is for 5G. So in that, I mean, but the common narrative seems to be like, it's not enough to keep these guys happy. I think that auction is expected to be at 492 crores per megahertz. So about 20 megahertz blocks are being sold. So you can get around 10,000 crores for the 20 megahertz. Add another 50,000. So 60,000 crores you can get, let's say, from those auctions, which they're saying you can defer. This is for all of them. So it's not a big piece.
Yeah.
It's just a small piece. And it, like you said, it's forward looking.
Right.
I don't know. Like in telecom, I've noticed two things which are happening here as well. Is in the world, you generally see when there are four players in the market, they sort of converge towards three. That's one. And the second thing is when there's margin dilution, there's leverage, over leverage, with all of these guys have a ton of debt. It's a dangerous cocktail. Like, it's just a very difficult thing to manage, and these guys will have to do it. And price rises are coming now, so let's see how it goes.
Isn't Vodafone also like making noise of just exiting?
In my view, that will be so bad for the Indian ecosystem. It will be essentially a two-player market.
Yeah.
It will like loosely parallel to Pepsi Coke. Like, they would not invest in resources. I think they'll just compete on marketing and just keep collude with prices. I generally think duopoly is not like it. I don't think it'll be good.
Yeah.
But but two player markets rarely stay like that. Someone else comes in. Like, if they keep the margins high, then someone else comes in. But it's just such a capital intensive business.
But right now we are not in the phase of high margin in any case, right?
Nobody's
burning. Even Jio is like strategically burning.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. And just now they're reversing trying to reverse that at least. Right. Price, everyone's raising prices now.
Yeah.
So I think in the next 1 year, I think it will be a bit more expensive than what we are used to.
Right.
Which I think makes it more sustainable, I guess, over the long term. But Vodafone Idea, if they exit, then I think it will be very, very interesting. Like a market like India with so many people, I don't know how only two players can do it. Like me, I think it's ideally set for a three-player market. But we'll see.
So we need like another oil and gas or steel major to start a telecom company.
Maybe some other conglomerate, right?
I don't really see it very... I mean, unless some big foreign player like Vodafone like takes a bet again. Which actually has a lot of deep pockets. I mean, Vodafone has been kind of sticking around, right? I mean, they have deep pockets.
And they're also saying that they're not exiting, but
I mean, but they have kind of felt the flak at multiple occasions.
Yeah.
Right? They got panned with the retrospective taxation thing also earlier.
Yeah.
So, anyways, this is...
be ready to pay more.
Yes, yes.
Slightly more.
I love it when we end the chat with, so definitive.
Yeah.
Right. You know, in terms of foreign players coming in, another foreign player has been much more fortunate, it seems. Akler, Mittal.
Oh, Arcelor, yeah.
Arcelor, Akler, I don't know.
I think it's Arcelor.
Yes, okay, let's call it Arcelor. Then.
Yeah.
So, Arcelor, Mittal, I think their acquisition with SR is finally kind of on the verge of closing.
Yeah.
That's another thing that came from the Supreme Court in the last few days.
Yeah, and that's interesting because there are just so many things going on there in terms of precedents and all, and you were alluding to it offline when we were speaking.
Yeah.
But Kim, let's share a brief synopsis on what's happening. I know this transaction has been in talks or in works for a while.
Yeah.
And I know like Sale Steel Authority of India Limited has a view, government has a view, Arcelor has a view, and it's an international entity, and India is a big consumer of steel. So, how does it all fit in?
So, I mean, firstly, it's just a landmark case. It's the first major case which has been settled through the, new insolvency and bankruptcy code. So, it kind of sets a lot of precedent for future litigation.
That's interesting.
It's a major case, right? That's the first, I would say, takeaway here. Second is that, I mean, the background is that obviously SR kind of was in NCLT and creditors had taken it to the bankruptcy code. And Arcelor Mittal, which is basically a Luxembourg-based entity, which kind of got created due to the merger, Arcelor Mittal.
Yeah.
Due to the merger of Arcelor and L&M Steel, which has Indian roots, right? So they bid for SR through NCLT. They bid for 42,000 crores, which is basically, I don't think there's much fundamental value sitting in the 42,000 crores. It was basically they were buying off the liabilities.
Which is ironically the amount that Vodafone Idea owns the government.
Yes.
Anyway, yeah.
Yes. And it is ironically the amount that the government is giving relief.
Relief,
42,000 crores is something, some kind of a ring, it seems.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so go on.
It's a good round number, right? In terms of even in INR terms.
Yeah.
Anyways, in dollar terms, it's a good round number, maybe. Anyways, so the story is that Arcelor and Nippon Steel, they have done a joint bid, 42,000 crores. So they basically have a joint venture set up to acquire SR. And the biggest takeaway, which came from the Supreme Court's final, stay or whatever, is that they upheld the principle of non-equality between between financial and operating creditors, between senior and junior creditors, which I think is very significant. I mean, it's pretty obvious for someone like us that, just for like the listener's benefit, a financial creditor is, there are many types of financial creditors. There are senior guys, there are, unsecured guys, there are junior guys, mezzanine.
Yeah, and they carry different coupons, right?
Yeah, so the idea is that, more risk, high return. So effectively, the senior guys are the ones whose lending is predominantly collateralized or secured on some real asset. They have a first right of payment, repayment in case there's a delinquency.
Yeah.
And the junior guys have basically taken a riskier bet on the same asset. So obviously, the senior guys, the coupon is lower. The junior guys, the coupon is higher. But your priority is different when it comes to repayment. So what was happening was that when Arcelor bid 42,000 crores, a lot of the operating creditors, which kind of are lower than the financial creditors in hierarchy, they started saying that, okay, our due should be cleared first. And the Supreme Court said, no, guys, that's not the way it works. Equality kind of comes with conditions.
So, yeah.
Which I think is a good, it's a victory of capitalism, which we like.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of other drama.
It's textbook, right? I mean, that's how what capital structure or corporate finance is built on sort of who stands first in line.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of see the complexity. It kind of also depends a bit on the sector. For example, in case of property, in case of like, you know, when homeowners are involved, say as a property developer, which, you know, created a residential project, you know, 400-500 units, pre-sold them and then goes bust. I mean, then I think it becomes a more severe consumer issue because they're the operating creditors, quote unquote, are actually homeowners.
Yeah.
Right. And
yeah.
that's also something that came through NCLT.
Yeah.
But yeah, in case of steel, it should be pretty clear, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the operational creditors also are business entities, more or less. So, I mean, anyways, so the other kind of, I would say, drama which was happening in the background of Hasla Mittal which happened in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
That there was a time when the Ruia family, which actually are the promoters of SR, they kind of, you know, tied up with New Metal, which is a Russian steel manufacturer. Or no, it's actually a Russian, I think, investment vehicle. I don't know.
Okay.
There's some Russian entity with which SR promoters tied up with. And they participated in the bid themselves.
Okay.
So they kind of...
For their own assets.
So they offered 54,000 crores. They offered more money than Hasla.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think the NCLT said, no, you're promoters. You know, I mean, it's a very conceptually clear thing, right? I mean, I run a company, it goes bust. I mean, I'm claiming that I don't have any assets to kind of, you know, make it go higher or make it work. And then I kind of somehow managed to source tons of funds and then participate in the bid to buy it back. So, I mean, that kind of becomes a bit counterintuitive. So, there's like a section within the IBC, I think it's section 29A or something, which forbids promoters from participating in the end. So, that also kind of, that precedent was set through this deal.
Okay, yeah. As well. So round tripping of coming back into the same asset through another vehicle.
I mean, there's obviously a line between willful defaulters and non-willful defaulters.
Yeah.
But...
Is the Supreme Court drawing that line as well in terms of can you bid for the asset even through a Russian vehicle or whatever it is?
Yes, yeah, so that was something which NCLT in itself did not allow.
Yeah.
So I don't think the court was involved. But I mean, it kind of has been an interesting case study of sorts.
Yeah.
But I mean, the funny thing is that it's all set by precedents, right? So I mean, that's what common law is all about.
Yeah.
So today, the rule is financial and non-financial creditors are unequal and promoters cannot bid back into the asset again. But if tomorrow another case happens where this opinion is reversed, then that becomes a new precedent.
Yeah.
Which is always a risk, you know. So, I mean, one keeps on hearing, I mean, this is more of like a market rumor rather than anything else, that there was a lot of pressure from Hasla's side to make sure that the Section 29A was mainly a technicality, which was used to make sure that Hasla gets the bid. But that's obviously like market
grapevine. Yeah.
Yeah, but so let's be very clear about it. There's no validation behind it right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so...
The only validation will be the next time someone goes into NCLT and there's a similar narrative being played out.
Then we can say, we told you so.
Yeah.
And then we can really take credit for it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been a pretty hectic, a month or so for the Supreme Court. Chief Justice is now, I think, in place. Okay. I think he's retiring on 17th of November. So, I'm guessing a lot of it was kind of, you know, loaded. that's very kind of, I would say,
go out with a bang,
natural tendency. But yeah, it's been I think I'm pretty happy with the deal on the SR side.
Yeah.
And on, at least the principles that it signifies. And on the telecom side, I mean,
it is what it is.
So
yeah.
You know, the same response that we did earlier.
Yeah. But no, it'll be interesting to look how these, I always look for, whenever we speak about something on the podcast and we make some future looking view, like views and opinions, we have things and I always try to track it and see, oh, were we offside or not?
Yeah.
And so this is no different. I'm going to look at how telecom behaves and let's see what more opinion pieces come out on the SR steel and other things and comparable transactions and things like that.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see these two going forward. And some of our calls have been pretty good. I was listening to some of the podcasts from way back and our investment thesis and gold exposure and sovereign gold. Some of them have been bang on.
And it's always also fun when listeners point that out, right?
Yeah, so, which also has been happening.
Yeah, so very, very, on a very, very, I would say, content and satisfactory note, I think this is it for the week, right? And we'll be back soon for the next episode 51, 52. I think Sharad have consciously taken a decision to drop the episode number reference within the podcast.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's getting a bit out of hand.
Yeah.
But yeah, one can see it on the channel now.
Yeah, I mean, it's good you do it right now. I mean, it'll be difficult when you say episode number 1342.
Yes, then like there's too much, there's like too much momentum there.
Yeah.
We stop. And on that note, listeners, obviously, thanks a lot. And do drop in your comments. Subscribe to our channel. Don't forget that. And obviously, share the podcast, share the episode that you like. That will really help us, you know, spread the word about this. Thank you very much and have a good day.
Thank you.